Good evening. I'm going to share on Psalm 15 this morning. It's not a psalm probably that you've heard a lot shared on. I looked on Voices for Christ, and there's only two messages in that whole library on Psalm 15. What got me into Psalm 15 was me trying to get back to the basics with the Emmaus book, The Christian Life, okay? And what I've been trying to do, I've been trying to go a little bit deeper with this. And chapter 1 talks about becoming a Christian. Chapter 2, growing strong. Chapter 3 talks about the church. Chapter 4 is reading the Bible. Chapter 5 is prayer. And then chapter 6 is where I'm at, is Christian behavior. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, Christian behavior. And the importance of what we say and what we do, like, really matters for our relationship with the Lord. And what I've been trying to do was kind of try and memorize the psalm associated with each chapter to try and soak it in a little bit more. And so it's the psalm associated with the Christian behavior is Psalm 15. And I think we'll be encouraged, we'll be challenged. And just for a matter of prayer, some of you just give an update on what's happening with us. Remember, I said I was looking for work and didn't know what I was going to do. Anyways, I didn't know if I was going to do like EA, RCW, or bus driving. So it turns out I got all three jobs. Now I'm too busy. I didn't take the EA work because the RCW pays $10 an hour more. So I just forgot about that. And the bus drive, I'm doing the RCW, I'm working at Beach Grove right now, and I got my name in for PE Home, just to check it out, but I'm doing the bus training next week, and I just don't know if I should be a school bus driver for a tent making job, or just pick up shifts at the care home, or have an opportunity to maybe open up a coffee shop downtown, which would be really cool. So I'm praying about that too. So there's kind of lots of things happening, and just pray that, eventually it'd be nice to be settled in like something. Besides for the Emmaus work, of course, we're trying to get that ball rolling in Canada. Worldwide, the Emmaus work is growing, and lots of people are doing it in many languages. But in Canada, especially in English, well, it's actually been going really good. Not as much good as I would like to see, but compared like from 2000... I think in 2000, just my numbers approximate, in 2024, there was about 200 people that did the Emmaus courses in English. And then in 2025, I think it was like 800. So it's a huge jump in just that 1 year. So if you see that kind of jump year after year, it's only a matter of time before then, you know, you're busy enough. Anyways, forget about this. Forget about the notes. We're going to speak from the heart. Forget about the book. Just going to go to Psalm 15. I'm going to read it in the CSB. Anybody read from the CSB, Christian Standard Bible, too? If you don't like it, Paul Robertson got me involved with the CSB, Christian Standard, so you can blame him for reading the CSB, but I really like it for readability, and actually accuracy, as far as I can understand, it's pretty good, too. So let's read Psalm 15 in the CSB. Lord, who can dwell in your tent? Who can live on your holy mountain? The one who lives blamelessly, practices righteousness, and acknowledges truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, who does not harm his friend or discredit his neighbor, who despises the one rejected by the Lord, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his word, whatever the cost, who does not lend his silver at interest or take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Let's ask the Lord's help again. Father, just as we want to glean. We want to be encouraged. Maybe we can look at these verses and be discouraged, because who can live this kind of life? Well, we know you can, and you did, Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is in us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, Father, help us to be challenged, to draw near to you, and to conduct our lives in a way that is in accordance with holiness. And just pray, bless each one. So we want to know you better, to glorify you, and to enjoy you to the max. Father, we commit this evening to you in Jesus' name. Who can dwell, Lord, is a prayer right here. Lord, who can dwell in your tent, or who can live on your holy mountain? Then it goes through like a checklist of things that you do and then things that you don't do for holiness. And we know that we are holy by believing in Christ. This God's destiny for us is to be before him in holiness, and our position before him is perfect holiness. He is able to keep us from falling and present us holy and blameless before the Lord. And when we see him, we'll be like him. But that's our position, but our practice matters, and what we do makes a difference. And I just want to read a little something about our accountability before the Lord. So the Lord Jesus said, "To sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared for of my Father." That's Matthew 20. So the place of honor, this is John Phillips, the place of honor in the kingdom must be earned. The place of honor must be earned. God gives unmerited salvation. We know that. We praise God for that. It's salvation by grace through faith. But it says, he says this, but he never gives unmerited reward. So we're thinking about rewards. We're thinking about a little bit tonight of drawing near to God, about dwelling in his presence, about living a more holy life. Remember, 1 Peter says, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy, so there's a command for us to be holy, to be more set apart. And I know that we sin, and sometimes we sin willfully, and we can have guilty consciences. But that's what that's why it addresses the idea of blameless there. It says in verse 2, the one who lives blamelessly. So if you go to Psalm 19, you kind of get the definition of being a blameless there. Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. He's searching the side. Who can understand our errors? We can't really. Lots of time we don't understand what we do wrong. And so cleanse me from secret faults. Of course, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. It says, keep your servant also from presumptuous sins. That's willful sin. That's like definitely overstepping the boundary. You know you do or don't do something is wrong, and you have this guilty conscience. And so the prayer here is, keep your servant also from presumptuous sins. And if having a guilt-filled life is actually a hindrance to having close fellowship with the Lord. And we can always, of course, 1 John, confess and be cleansed. But you have to do that. You have to appropriate the blood of Christ. And I know sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back in life. That's just sometimes how it goes. But it says, so when we're not having these presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So it's a challenge for us to really live a blameless life, to be not engaging in willful sin. And I just want to move on from that a little bit, but it says lives blamelessly. There's a few things here. Living a life that doesn't give you blame. And when, remember, Peter said, or Paul said to Peter, like, that I remember he withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He lived a hypocritical life. What he was doing didn't match his profession. And so that's what being blameless is really is like living out what we believe, who we are in Christ, because we're citizens of heaven, so be who we are. And so not being overcome with presumptuous sin. And so do whatever you have to do to let us do whatever we have to do to make sure we're living a blameless life, practicing righteousness. And that sounds like hard work. It's works righteousness. And we know that our righteousness is of the Lord. Anything that's all of the Lord, any righteousness we do is all of Him. And we are saved by His righteousness as well. That's what saves us, is His righteousness through Christ. But we're saved unto good works, practicing righteousness, and acknowledging truth in his heart. And this can be looked at as a few different things, is, of course, being honest with sin in our life, acknowledging truth. Of course, that's what God wants, truth in the inward parts, but also speaking the truth to your heart. So we're talking about trying to draw near to God. Who can dwell in his tent or live on his holy mountain? Well, the one who lives blamelessly, practices righteousness, and acknowledges truth in his heart. Then there are a couple negative things. Does not slander with his tongue. That's like lying about somebody in order to gain advantage. And the example that we thought of was Ziba. And he made Mephibosheth look bad. And he, I don't know if you remember the story, but he lied and said Mephibosheth wanted to stay back to gain advantage. But I'm here with you, David. So that was, he slandered there. And that's just lying about someone with your tongue. And then it says harm his friend. And, you know, we can often harm or hurt people that are closest to us. And that's just doing evil or hurtful things. And so that's a thing there. We know that the Lord Jesus was harmed by his friend. It's stuff like this might happen to you, but you don't want to be the one that you're doing it. You don't want to be doing this to other people because you're not living a life pleasing to God that way. And this is to discredit his neighbor. And that is like taunting or scorning someone. And it says, who despises the one rejected by the Lord. And that's an interesting one for you to think about. That's what the Bible says here. Live a holy life, living in fellowship with God. You're despising one rejected by the Lord. And then some of the ways I've just wrestled through that a little bit is they're only rejected by the Lord because they rejected the Lord. And I kind of think of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And he said, I was willing, you weren't. And your house is left unto you desolate until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So how we spend our time should be more with this part here, but honors those who fears the Lord. This is a characteristic of our lives. Are we honoring those that fear the Lord? And this is an interesting word, honor. It's a word that is translated glory. It's used often of God, and usually, like, you're not thinking of, like, we should be glory in man. But the Bible does say something here about honoring those that fear the Lord. And maybe we sometimes feel like maybe a bit shy on that. We don't really want to honor them. But that's a real thing. And in Philippians it says, esteem Epaphroditus very highly. Because for the work of Christ or love of Christ, he regarded not his life to for a sacrifice. He lived a life of sacrifice and service. And so just a thing here, I'm just pointing it out. This is one who has close fellowship with the Lord, draws near to the Lord. You know, we sometimes think God doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates. And so what I'm saying is it matters how we live. Things that we do and things that we don't do for reward. And we get the reward down here as well because we're enjoying God better. We're not enjoying God if we're full of guilt. And, of course, the blood of Christ deals with that. Then it goes, honors those who fears the Lord, who keeps his word, whatever the cost. It's just it's a good character quality here to keep your promises. Of course, this is talking about like an oath. And Jesus said, don't make oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And this is a good character trait here. And then even if it costs you, your word is important. It's because God always keeps his word, and we reflect God when we keep our word. So that is a really important way to live, even if it hurts, to don't break that contract, because that's important. And then, who does not lend his silver at interest or take a bribe against the innocent? This has to do with, of course, finances, about gaining a wealth by harming others. Are others harmed or hurt? Is the innocent suffering because we are becoming wealthy? Or so it is not lending at an interest or taking a bribe against the innocent. Someone being harmed by the gain of wealth. And it says, the one who does these things will never be shaken. So anyways, I know I didn't have much time, and probably did, but the Lord can use that, the Lord uses his word, and just the topic of Christian behavior, I feel like is important. I feel like it's not really talked about very much, and or reward, but the Bible does say to be holy, and I'm not. Of course, after sharing this message, like the devil would love to me to fall into a presumptuous sin. That'd be something like I would do, something that would be really easy to do. And we're only one small step away, like from ruining our lives. But pray that may not be the case. We want to live blameless lives, practice righteousness, acknowledging truth in our heart. Father, we just thank you for this time. Help us to have a good time of prayer, caring for one another, bearing one another's burden. Help us to really practice the righteousness, to even acknowledging truth, living lives of integrity, honoring you by the way what we say, what we do, what we don't do. Father, may you get all the glory, and we just give you thanks in Jesus' name.